You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. It is now time for Technology Bites.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to this edition of Technology Bites, which sucks.
Mr. Robot. What?
Maybe you suck. Why don't you just play the intro again? Let's just do the intro like over and over again, let's be the show.
Let's just watch Mr. Robot.
Cue it up. I had a perfect thing all set up and ready to go, and then it was screwed up, and so it didn't work, and I'm annoyed.
It's fail.
It's very depressing.
Failure on the net.
I'm so sad for you.
Only there were a website.
So do we have Mr. Pete on, or are we flying with just the four of us tonight?
And now, on tonight's Technology Bites, it's Peter Hughes. Just kidding.
Wow.
And Mr. Robot will not die in the background. We got Pete.
We do have Pete.
There he is.
I guess he didn't make it here.
I heard my intro. I heard the whole thing.
You gotta come on.
What do you do after that? Anyway, well, I guess I could give out the vital statistics.
While Mr. Robot hates the FCC, we love the FCC. We like to comply.
The F stands for
fun. No. Well, the vital statistics I was going to give out were geekradio.com, where you can find out all about the show. You can download podcasts. You can, you know, get links to all the articles that we review. You can even see our newly updated. It's updated because I just like installed the update while we were waiting for the show to start. of WordPress. So we're current. So don't try to run any exploits on us.
Isn't it cool how when there's a WordPress upgrade pending, it's like notify your system administrator that there's a WordPress upgrade pending. You like call yourself. You're like, hey Pete.
Recursive loop. No update. Yeah, really.
So anyways, yeah. There's links to all the articles we used during the show. There's also a link to if you don't know what an IRC client is or how to use one, you can use the highly secure Java based thing that we have been using forever, with no security issues so far.
We need to swap that with Flash
To get on IRC at it's irc.cuckoo.com.
I hear it's the show within a show.
Just right now at a whole other building, Groove House mysteriously went cuckoo.
I sure did. Flicked it, had my mic down.
Oh, nice. Nice. I thought you might be out tonight.
No, I was there.
I turned the mic down so we can breathe.
So now that I've totally mucked up the start of the show by giving the vital statistics first, cuckoo. You are listening to Technology Bytes. I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm confused.
Such energy. And he's
Groove House.
Perfect show.
There you go. And Jay is in Newfoundland.
I miss his warm, comforting presence on my right.
Chasing people icebergs. Have known where that place was for years. I feel it's poorly named.
And so, yes, he is chasing icebergs and drinking iceberg beer and having a generally Canadian experience, as far as any of us can tell.
Yeah.
So if you follow him on Facebook, I think he posts pictures of his nice trips in progress as they go. So if you're his friend, you'll know. You
Twitter,
can see it all there. Otherwise, maybe later he'll post them somewhere else.
He probably Instagrams the Twitters and, you know, snaps all the chats and all that.
Yeah, well, plus that way you can track when he's in areas that don't have good signal. So, because
the pictures download
stop.
Like one line at a time, like how, like, downloading GIFs in the old days, back in, like, the 80s.
Yeah. Or like in every movie where we have the photo, but we have to decode it before the end of the movie. And, you know, of course, it's you know that it's going to take right up until the moment, the most tense moment of the movie before they'll actually see who the killer is in the back of the picture or who the bad guy is that the picture reveals or whatever.
Just goes to show you should never progressively encode your images. Always skip that option.
All right. Well, so let's see. I guess maybe we just jump right into the regular news thing.
Should we
and,
jump?
Go from there.
Is it too perilous, or should we just both feet?
How is Pete invisible? I don't see him in the studio. This is so weird.
Hey, yeah. What happened? What happened to that, Pete? We were all excited for you to show up.
He's not
tied for. Well, I posted on the show prep page that I wasn't going to be able to make it. It was tied to if I had a business meeting in Houston.
It's almost as if you expect us to look at the page before we start the show.
Do you need me to invite you to the Google Hangout where I call into the show and then you can see me that way?
No, I would prefer you just. I don't know. You'd email
rather
me or something.
The disembodied voice imagined version of me.
I like that version.
Well, for those of you at home, so since you're imagining, then while I do the show, I pump iron. Big 50-pound barbells, one in each hand.
Dogs are spotting him.
It's impressive.
And dogs, don't get more towels. I'm teaching them to fight. They're big attack dogs that I. I also, I also lift weights and train them to be attack dogs during the show while broadcasting. It's pretty amazing.
Speaking of dogs, I don't see this on your news list, so I'll just go ahead and bring it up. There was somebody tweeted this earlier today, and somebody who follows me, and I went and checked it out. There is a Twitch stream. It's not on right now. It was on for several hours today, where someone had taken. It was. What do they call the Doge dog? Like a Shiba Inu or whatever?
Oh, the Doge. Doge.
So, somebody had taken a Doge dog, like a Shiba Inu dog, and had given it a, it was like a paintbrush, and they were like feeding it treats and like having it paint, and it was like dog painting on Twitch, and I watched it for like 2 hours today. It was totally fun. Like the dog had like this totally cool routine where like the owner would like you know, throw him a tweet, a tweet. Oh boy, a treat, and then give him the paintbrush, and then the dog would turn around and like there was a little canvas like at dog height, and the dog would turn around and like rump the paintbrush across the canvas and make like, you know, a big swath, and then turn back around for to like receive another treat.
Was it Pocky Fairy? No, was it Pocky Fairy?
No, it was called like Vox, like VOX, like Vox Paints or something like that.
Surprisingly, there's a lot of Shiva's painting out there.
Vox Paints, Twitch. Let me see. I know it was on.
Much paint.
Vox the dog paints. Art. Okay, yeah. If you just search for Vox, VOX Paints Twitch, first link should be Vox the dog paints, and it's the Twitch channel is Outside the Vox, is what it's called. Yeah, no, just sat there and watched the dog paint abstract watercolor, or not watercolors. It was I guess it was like acrylic or something. Which dogs prefer to use, you know, dogs don't go
well,
for the wet-on-wet
method. Still takes like 3 months and dog months to dry. They don't have time for oil.
Well, the water, yeah, the watercolors they drink, I think.
Anyway, so I was watching that earlier, and it was pretty cool. There was some nice piano music, like calmly jamming in the background.
There's some deadlines swishing by in the background.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
It's news day on the tech front.
But yeah, that was cool. Thought that was newsworthy. Definitely. Dog's painting now, so what a time we live in.
That's what I told my boss. This is newsworthy.
Yeah.
Well, we've made a lot of progress since the 60s when all there was launching dogs into space without any way to get them back.
Laika,
you've come a long way, doggy.
Oh, Doji.
A long way, Laika.
Well, that was the Russians that did that. We would never do that.
We'd only
send a monkey.
Chimps.
That's right. Yeah. Well, but they all
only
came
higher
back.
Up the animal trainer.
They told you they all came back.
That's what I read.
Right.
Wikipedia said they all came back.
Technically, they
we
all
sent
came
a
back.
Monkey, and according to movies, we also sent Don Knotts.
Oh yeah,
never saw that movie.
Far out space nut.
I said lunch, not launch.
Oh no, there was actually Far Out Space Nuts was like a Saturday morning cartoon thing, but there was actually a movie.
Don Knotts.
Whole idea was that there was,
goes
a race,
to space.
That there was a race between the Russians and the United States
to show
that their program was so advanced to show who could send the bigger idiot into space, and we chose Don Knotts, and you know, so they didn't have to know anything to go into space,
and we won.
Yeah, we sent Don Knotts.
We sent the inanimate carbon rod.
They sent Yakov Smirnoff.
Is this an actual show, or was someone watching CS?
It's a real movie. It is
USA,
a real movie. No, it's not
USA,
one of those movies where you're like...
USA.
I feel like someone in North Korea has watched that movie one too many times.
Well, hopefully they watched it and have just tried... And they're trying to figure out how they can send Dear Leader into space.
Oh, dear Lord.
No, this was a real movie, not one of those deals where you're like on the couch vaguely falling asleep, and so whatever is going on the TV becomes...
just sort of assimilates.
Distortedly blended into your dream.
Flaming loaves of Sigmund.
Inanimate carbon rod.
So, pure energy.
Are we launching the news? Should we launch the news
now? I think it's
now?
Time to push the button and right. Launch the news.
I'm going to say it. Take it away, InfoShot.
It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
So this one, I'm we're not taking a position on the merits of the political portion of this, but I thought it was kind of interesting from a technology standpoint, and so it's here. There's a sit-in going on at the House of Representatives in Washington D.C. And the you know, basically, I guess there's a group of House Democrats who have a sit-in to force a vote on gun control. But almost immediately after that started, one of the things that happens is the House controls the cameras and microphones that feed to C-SPAN. So of course, just about immediately, the cameras and microphones of C-SPAN were shut off. But C-SPAN found a workaround they used Periscope. So I guess the revolution will sort of be televised, but it'll be through an app. After viewers noticed that C-SPAN's cameras went off, the network was quick to deflect blame. They tweeted that they had no control over the House TV cameras. C-SPAN began using what appears to be the Periscope feed of Representative Scott Peters of California, who had been broadcasting the sit-in from his own account. Then later they switched to so one of the things that it gave you that great experience of watching vertical video on your TV on C-SPAN, and then later on they changed to C-SPAN later changed to Facebook Live, I guess, to broadcast more. But so, you know, just interesting to see getting around the normal ways that information is maybe disseminated from there, and having that happen with smartphones and streaming media. That's got to be some kind of first, I think. And it's just sort of interesting to see older people who you might not assume could even use this stuff remembering to use their tech. Because I know I don't remember. I don't remember half the time that I could just take a picture of something and instead of, you know, writing out a note or any of that stuff. And other government news, this one I think we do have a position on and we've taken a very clear position on. Congress has failed for now to pass an expansion of online surveillance powers for monitoring suspected terrorists. Okay, let's, you know, I like they put that. It's always about monitoring suspected terrorists, but what it really means is monitoring whoever they want with very little supervision is the real definition. In a vote today, the Senate fell just short of the 60 votes needed to adopt an amendment brought by Senator John McCain, mustering only 58 supporters, but the proposal could come back, so it's not gone. Because the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell switched his vote to no, and it's a procedural thing. It doesn't mean that he changed his position. It's by doing that, it leaves the door open to bring the bill back to the floor. The measurement introduced as an amendment to a spending bill would allow the FBI to collect targets' browsing history, email records, and other electronic metadata through a national security letter, a method of surveillance that carries relatively little oversight and can bar internet service providers and other recipients from revealing its existence. It would also permanently extend the Patriot Act's lone wolf provision, which allows surveillance of suspects who aren't tied to a larger terrorist organization. Previously, a 2008 memo limited national security letters to demanding information equivalent to telephone subscriber data and billing accounts. It's been presented as a response to last week's mass shooting at a nightclub in Orlando, Florida, although it had already been introduced, a version of it, before the attack. So basically it was, there was a news event and the usual national security maximalists, the, you know, monitor everybody except them, rushed to tack it on to something that it had nothing to do with it. Let's see. It seems unlikely the powers would have made a difference in the shooting, in part because the FBI had already reviewed many of the affected materials on the Orlando shooter before the shooting took place. So they'd already seen his stuff based on existing legal powers. So, but, you know, still the same old, the usual suspects have described it as a crucial response to the attacks. So we'll keep an eye on this one because, of course, like... they keep returning to it and keep chipping away to try and undermine, you know, reduce judicial oversight and reduce judicial oversight and open the door for, you know, checking on whatever they want with minimal friction. Now this. I guess we'll just keep it dark. Why not? The negative downside of technology. This is interesting. You know, there's a lot of places are converting streetlights to LED lights because they take a lot less energy, so it saves big money. And so they've converted to LEDs. And so one of the problems, though, is that the light spectrum, the color temperature, if you want to be real technical about it, they have a lot of blue light. Phosphor converted LEDs, where the light actually comes from an excited phosphor, just like in fluorescent lights, are more efficient in the higher ranges, and the light appears whiter, making it easier to distinguish colors of cars in it. People, there are studies that show pedestrians feel safer with white street lights, but unfortunately the LED lights can be too bright and too white. So they can be harmful, actually, to the point of being harmful. It says high-intensity LED lighting designs emit a large amount of blue light that appears white to the naked eye and create worse nighttime glare than conventional lighting. Discomfort and disability from intense blue-rich LED lighting can decrease visual acuity and safety, resulting in concerns and creating a road hazard. In addition to its impact on drivers, blue-rich LED streetlights operate at a wavelength that most adversely suppresses melatonin during the night. It's estimated that white LED lamps have 5 times greater impact on sleep rhythms than conventional street lamps. Recent large surveys found that brighter residential nighttime lighting is associated with reduced sleep time, dissatisfaction with sleep quality, excessive sleepiness, impaired daytime function, and obesity. So the street lights are making you fat and sleepy. There is the real reason, and that it is a legitimate thing. It's not clear this may have an effect on animals. They think that maybe, and it would save more energy, but that they should either, the AMA recommends that there's an intensity threshold for LED lighting that minimizes blue-rich light, and recommends that all LED lighting should be properly shielded to minimize glare, and maybe talk about dimming it, like, late at night. It's tough because obviously it saves money, but they have to do some other changes. Our researchers looked at 14 years of data from 63 local authorities across England and Wales, searching for trends among agencies that reduced their lighting. And it showed that less than 1% of all nighttime traffic collisions occurred on streets where the lights had been switched off. So there was no link between accidents and dimming, reducing, or changing the street lights. They also looked at lighting's effect on crime trends. In regions of reduced lighting, they found there was no increase in burglary, auto theft, robbery, violence, or sexual assault. So maybe we should just turn off the lights and the party's over. No, turn off the lights and or dim them, and maybe that'll be healthier for everybody else. And then the last one, this one's an interesting sort of came from an indirect place. Facebook announced some big Instagram thing with Facebook, some sort of tie-in thing. And so Mark Zuckerberg tweeted a thing about it. And that triggered the indirect thing that doesn't have anything to do with Instagram or really Facebook. He tweeted from his desk. And people looking at his computer on his desk saw that he had taped over both the camera, the webcam, and the microphone slot on his it's an Apple computer, on his laptop, his Apple laptop. And so there was a lot of discussion about it on the internet today. One of the things that I found is, putting tape over the microphone seems like it could help with security, but Mashable tested Zuckerberg's method with clear tape and with thicker gaffer's tape, the stuff they use like on movie sets, and neither one reduced the microphone's audio pickup even when doubled up. So obviously if you cover your webcam with tape, they can't see you, but if you're wanting to protect your microphone, tape is not going to do it. So don't be like Zuckerberg, who thinks that he's safe from his audio being hacked remotely. Apparently the way to do it is to connect a pair of earbuds with a microphone into your audio jack, and then you snip off the earbud with the microphone on it just below the mic. And then the reason that works is when you plug in those earbuds that indicate they have a built-in microphone, the computer automatically changes its default audio input from the internal mic on the computer to the new external mic. And so then when you cut the bud off, the computer doesn't change back to the internal mic and it can't get any audio from it. I don't know if that means you have to like cut the earbud off every time that you want to silence your the microphone on your computer. So that might just be a really good way to sell a whole lot of earbuds with the microphone. There's got to be some other way that you could also make that work. But anyways, at least you know that works better than tape. And that's the news for now.
Not that I want to defend Facebook or Zuckerberg, but if you look at that picture and look where the tape is, it looks like he's taping, yes, the microphone's on that side, but you can't see that he's not putting a piece of tape over the mic jack, to where it looks like he probably did put in, you know, a mic, like an 1/8-inch mic, and then snip it off and put a piece of tape over that just to hold it up, hold it in there. That looks like what he's doing.
Oh, maybe that there's you wouldn't need tape to hold it.
If it were me, it might keep everything in there from falling back out, I would do that.
Or it might be rough, might have a little thingy sticking out of it or something.
Enough to where I could pull it back out with a little pair of needle nose pliers, so I might put a piece of tape over it. I can't quite see. Yeah. He also runs Thunderbird.
He does, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. He's got Thunderbird icon in his dock down
so
there.
This has come out a few different times, and you see this move quite a bit at DEF CON. You'll see, you know, a lot of people putting tape over, you know, front-facing cameras, rear-facing cameras on both phones, tablets, computers, everything like that. But a couple months ago, the FBI director, James Coney, he was giving a speech, and he had a piece of tape over his, and then somebody caught the attention of someone, so at the Q&A, I don't know if he had it prepared, but instead of saying, like, because you're spying on everything and I know it, so I cover my microphone or my NDMI my camera, he said, if I can find the quote, he said, he just said, hey, this is exactly what he said. He said, I saw something in the news, so I copied it. I put a piece of tape. I obviously have a laptop, personal laptop. I put a piece of tape over the camera because I saw someone smarter than me hold a piece of tape over the camera. So it's like, that's his excuse. He saw some random person on TV put a piece of tape over the camera who he thinks is smarter than the director of the FBI. So he's doing it too. That sounds... I don't think that's legit. Unless he had a suspicion like, hey, our people are spying through...
Well,
you know,
maybe he read cameras. An article about rats and he didn't want to, you know, have his laptop pwned or whatever.
Or maybe he read a memo about, you know, what the CIA is doing in the NSA. And
maybe watch Mr. Robot.
Yeah. A lot of stuff has gotten announced. Yeah, Mr. Flicted, what did you find? You found a...
Oh, there was just USA did a one-hour special Mr. Robot Decoded.
Decoded!
Which talked about the previous first season.
So there are spoilers, so don't watch it if you...
Not really. I mean, they had really short clips of, like, half seconds of scenes from the second season. But they didn't really reveal much.
Oh, spoilers for the first season.
Yeah.
Spoilers for the first season,
if you have not
seen
the first season, this is not something you want to watch.
Even then, it's not like they just go out and explain it, but you could probably pick up some of the stuff from some of the scenes they show.
At the point where we started to have questions, I think if you watch this special, at least the parts I kind of fast-forwarded through, it would firm up your suspicions one way or the other.
Yeah. Are we talking about Mr. Robot season 1 spoilers?
Oh, it's this Mr. Robot show.
Are we going to, I mean, is it okay to talk about spoilers of Mr. Robot season 1?
How about if you have not watched Mr. Robot, pull over your car, turn down your radio, do whatever it takes for the next 5 minutes.
Well, you know, this is perhaps a spoiler, but July 13th is the first airing of episode 1 of season 2.
Oh, I thought it was like later on in July 13th.
No, that's
soon. Hold on. Now, you cannot not listen to Technology Bites. Because it's on around the same time we are, isn't it? Isn't that a Wednesday?
My Wednesday.
Math is right. A That's a Wednesday.
Yep.
I don't have a calendar. Uh-oh. I'm going to be sick that day, guys.
No.
I've got a virus.
Unacceptable!
I've got some malware. I've got an exploit.
Yeah, because in this day and age, it's not possible. You have to watch it when it actually is broadcast out. You know, there's no...
And you have to watch the commercials.
No method of...
Yes. I watch it only for the commercials.
Time shifting it to watch another time or recording it in some way for later consumption or
if only there were a way to download it from the never mind.
No.
Yeah, you wonder if that one's gonna show up early from online somewhere.
That would be cool. I feel like the people should have to watch Mr. Robot pirated. Like they should only put out those channels. Like they put out like the licenses, nobody can watch it. But yet everyone still does.
It's the only way. It's literally the only way to do it.
Nice. Well, yeah, you guys, especially we can talk about Mr. Robot right around 8:32.
That's right.
That's just right around the corner.
No awkward silences at that point.
3 minutes and 3 seconds away, Pete.
You know,
one thing to remind everybody of that before the 13th, on Friday, July the 1st, is the Geek Gathering. if you're in the Houston metro area, that's always, as always, held at Cohn's Wine and Darts, Wine, Darts, and Coffee. Did they keep adding stuff to it?
I think it was Wine, Darts, Art, Coffee, Darts.
Muscle cars.
Muscle cars, art cars, large
spam
chickens.
Spam bacon, spam darts.
An occasional JD sighting.
It's at 2808 Milam, which is in Midtown, south of downtown.
Oh, and taxes.
Milam at Drew.
And so you're certainly welcome to show up. You don't have to be a geek to, you have to be a big technology person to show up. It's pretty much a cool hangout with a lot of friendly geeks and have beer, coffee, wine, spam, darts, art,
muscle
whatever.
Cars.
You don't even have to know about it to show up.
No, you can just wander in.
That's true. You can
Where am I?
Just arrive and
World,
you can have an art car and show up.
Now, Jay Lee's not going to be here yet. He's still going to be away. Is that correct?
Yes.
I think so.
If Jay Lee has been scaring you away,
he's
attending a gathering. This is your chance to come on out. We promise no Jay Lee.
Who hasn't been scared by Jay at least, you know, once or twice?
It could be the friendliest geek gathering ever.
If you thought he was maybe going to snap at you or in some way be
judgmental,
put out, or you might think he's judging you while he flies around.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
Y'all are going to get in trouble.
Uh-huh. No, well, we said if they thought that, you know.
My Barrett impersonation is so awesome. Flicked
it. He's a big.
Wow, Flicked it. That was great. Do
he's
it again.
A big,
tell
he's
us,
a big teddy bear.
Say
he's,
something terrible about Jay in your Barrett voice.
Jay is so terrible that
bronies won't have him anymore.
He's out with icebergs right now. He's fine. Puffins, penguins.
He's driving his Canadian mobile around in Canada. That's what he said he was going to do. He actually said like he and Cynthia were just going to like drive around like for hours.
They've been doing that. They've the last couple trips they have like circumnavigated entire. I don't want to call them continents. I mean Iceland and Greenland are kind
countries.
Of the little things. Countries, I suppose.
Yeah, there you go.
Hmm. He's
not
going to
circumnavigate Canada. That would take too long.
The globe.
Yeah, just
they're
driving.
Tom Tiki experiment.
They're building up to that big vacation where they circumnavigate South America. All of it.
That would take a considerable amount of time.
There's still some gaps in the world, which I found, because I wanted to at one point. I still do want to, you know, drive or ride from here to, you know, like, let's just say.
Around the world?
Chile.
You know, when they build that big expressway across the ocean, it's going to be totally awesome.
That'll be awesome. There's still big gaps. There's still, like, you know, 30 or 40 miles of, you know, malaria-infested swamp that you can't quite get through.
Is it really?
Yeah. I think his next thing is that he and Cynthia are going to reenact the Ewan McGregor trek across from Europe all around the world.
Oh, the long way down?
Yeah.
Like in Star Wars.
The Road of Bones.
So, yeah. So like,
they did stop by the original Star Wars set.
They're going to start in...
That's true.
Where did they start?
They started in London, didn't they?
Was it? Yeah, in
One
London.
One of them, yeah.
And went through Germany or Czech Republic.
Czech Republic, China,
went into
Russia.
Poland, then went into Russia. And, yeah, then went down to Mongolia, back up into Russia. They got a plane to go across to Alaska.
And then Alaska, California?
Canada... I thought they went into the Midwest and they ended in.
They went to OC Choppers
New York
at one point. Wouldn't they have had to go south for OC Choppers? Or
I thought OC Choppers was in New York.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that much about that kind of motorcycling. So it could be. That's where they wound up. I know the OC Chopper guys were there. Okay, New York.
Orange County's in California.
That's what I thought.
Maybe
they had
another branch somewhere else.
Yeah, I always thought OC stood for Orange County, but. Who knows?
I think it does, but I don't think it's that Orange County, is it?
Jay's going to have to learn how to ride a chopper, is what we're talking about.
I don't
here.
Know where Orange County
is. I think
choppers
the tougher
is.
One would be getting his lovely lady to ride a chopper.
Cynthia, I could see Cynthia riding the chopper and Jay riding back.
Yeah.
Orange County choppers. Like Orange County choppers words. Is a motorcycle manufacturer and lifestyle brand company. Aren't they all now? Located in Orange County, New York.
Mm. Oh, that's a good thing. I checked out where that was. I'm like, hey, let's ride OC Choppers.
So
this damn Google Maps, they aren't giving me good directions. I'm going to Orange County, California.
That's what I get for using Apple Maps.
So Cynthia be wearing the shirt that says, if you can read this, Jay Lee fell off.
Good save.
It just has a smiley face on the back of it.
wearing a football helmet.
Oh.
Born to be Wild on loop.
The good news is we've got at least one more show before he comes back and we're all in trouble. We should live it up. This is the show we don't look back. Next is the repentance and remorse show.
So, man, I'm looking at the South American map here, Barrett, because what you said about trying to drive all the way from, like, north to south.
I was
looking at it to see, like, what is the absolute furthest south point on South America. Is it because at the very bottom, it's like Argentina and Chile, but they sort of overlap a little bit. And looking at this
Pelican Island
map,
it's
Chile.
Cabo de Hornos is where you want to wind up.
Cape Horn?
Yep.
Yeah, that's way down there. That's Chile, Argentina.
That's Chile, but you could skip through Argentina to get there.
Wouldn't want to go to Argentina.
I would want to go everywhere.
Of course, how do you ride your bike over the gigantic mountains in Chile?
There are passes, and I may actually miss a show in a year or two to do that, because I've got some friends that I ride with in Italy that are going to go try to do that. They're actually shipping a vehicle to Peru, so they can have a 4x4 to launch off from there. So it's going to be like a 4x4 trek with some motorcycles and support.
So you'd go through Colombia and all this stuff.
Llamas with you?
Some llamas.
They're gonna have a bunch of Vespas.
Llamas.
Ciao. That would be truly continental of you. Yes.
Towed by llamas.
Cappuccino in one hand, cell phone in the other. Not sure how we're steering.
Doesn't matter. It's in Italy. You have to steer.
I think that in the past the maps like showed the road sort of semi-continuous, and that there's places that, you know, again, that the map says, oh yeah, you know, they were going to finish the road here and they never did it.
So it's around Panama, and I think, is it around Panama or is it between? Yeah, I think it's Panama. So apparently they're not fixing some of these gaps. Oh. You can see where the road just stops, and their argument is, Panama doesn't want immigration coming in because it'll kill some people in there. It's not like you're wandering across, you know, a dry kind of thing. There's like large things, swampy things that can kill you. There's all kinds of diseases.
Well, I played the
and you
the,
really can't get through there.
I played the video game Gold Rush for the Sierra game a long time ago, and there's that part where you have to cross the Isthmus of Panama. And yeah, there's, you know, you can get malaria and, you know, whatever. And I assume that things may have gotten a little better since 1848, but maybe not too much.
No, this is no Oregon Trail. I mean, there's just there is.
What if
no
your
map.
Axle breaks? You know, what if you die of dysentery? What if oxen
die? You probably need to play Oregon Trail a bunch before you go and do this so you can find out your options.
Yeah, it's called the Darien Gap. It's just the break in the Pan-American Highway. It's a large swath of, and this is what Wikipedia says, it's not me being biased, a large swath of undeveloped swampland and forest with Panama's Darien province in Central America. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's
60-mile gap, a 60-mile stretch of marshland. Yeah, so it's not like you can just, like, jump it or something.
No, Evel Knievel
get a ramp going.
Could not make this all the way through.
Get going to about 60 and then
so you have
jump
to put on those
thing.
Big tire, like, really fat tires that have the paddles on them.
Do they have, like, snowmobiles but for, like, swamps?
You would need a swamp boat. I think it's called an airboat.
Oh, like Gator.
It's like Louisiana. Yeah, like, it's like Louisiana.
Like Burt Reynolds and Gator. You could do that. It'd be like the whole thing would be awesome. This sounds like a great project all of a sudden. I'm totally interested now.
The reason for the gap, there is evidence that the Darien Gap has prevented the spread of diseased cattle into Central and Northern America.
Well, nobody wants that.
Which have not seen foot and mouth disease since 1954. And since at least the 1970s, this has been a substantial factor in preventing a road link through the Darien Gap.
Huh. Well, I didn't know that. Today
so, yeah, there are still places you can't get there. You like when people say you can't get there from here without, you know, flying or getting on a boat,
so you'd
it's
have
still
to
true.
Load up your motorcycle onto a helicopter?
No, there are boats that'll take them around, but there are all kinds of horror stories where it takes, like, you know, they've, like, it's more or less, you put your motorcycle, you hope, on what is more or less a grocery run through that area. So, you know, I'm sure it's something like the African Queen, only, you know, Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, and they're all like, I don't know, I don't think we can take your motorcycle, you know, and make
suddenly,
the universal gesture for currency.
They take them, and it's really weird because this one village in Panama has these amazing motorcycles. Everybody in the village rides, like, premium Harleys and BMWs.
I don't know. Sometimes bikes fall off this boat.
Sorry,
just for money.
Yo, Maybe if you treated it better than like your laptop, we would have made it all the way without losing your bike.
I just don't want to be dropped off on like the island of Dr. Moreau without actually knowing where that is on a map.
I've heard bad stuff happens there.
Yeah.
They made a really bad movie about it.
That's mainly what I'm talking about. They might actually screen the movie on that island or have a gift shop.
You don't want to be Val Kilmer in the movie of your life?
No.
No, thanks. I don't know. I mean, he's not looking too great these days.
I would
days
maybe
anyway.
Be Top Gun Val Kilmer, but not yeah. nothing after Willow Val Kilmer.
No,
Iceman.
He was pretty cool in Willow. Yeah, he was Willow whipping was, that sword you know. Around. But yeah, not like you wouldn't want to be like Heat Val Kilmer.
No.
Actually, you might. Well, Heat Val Kilmer, I guess, was okay. That was at 92 or 95.
You don't
want to
be
95.
Tombstone Val Kilmer.
No, Tombstone Val Kilmer was awesome, except for, you know, the tuberculosis. Yeah. Right.
Well, and the downside of Top Gun Val Kilmer is the vague homoerotic subtext.
Come on. No, you don't have to go there.
No,
this
no,
is a
no.
technology
Geek
news show.
Tech show. Let's talk about the weapon systems.
pew, pew, pew.
Speaking of the other thing that dropped, like a bomb or something, the DEF CON 24 speaker schedule came out, which is cool because it finally shows you what all the talks are going to be.
Did it hit you like a wrecking ball?
It hit me like a wrecking ball.
Like a wrecking ball.
It's pure energy.
Pure energy.
The Information Society. We already mentioned Information Society. Berlin are going to be there. But the cool part is the talks are out there. There's lots of wireless stuff. And actually, finally, I know we've been talking about, you know, like lots of Pete mentioned this with the Stingray stuff, that there are lots of ways that, you know, nefarious players and crackers and bad hackers can get in and pretend to be a cell tower. There are a couple talks with toolkits being released.
Like they dress up like cosplay as a cell tower.
Hey, I saw that cell tower move. And it's only like 6'2", and it smells like Cheetos. That's no cell tower. The T-Mobile spelled wrong.
That cell tower just used an inhaler.
So they've got toolkits out, and I forget what some of them are called, but more or less it'll do detection. It'll, you know, you put in a little cheap software-defined radio. It sees everything that's out there, and it says, like, hey, this cell tower doesn't look real. So it's some detection software that can finally fight that.
Looks like a guy.
More or less, it detects Cheeto dust in the air. That's all it really does.
Gray spandex and holding a satellite dish.
I just told someone's thunder.
He's got a Tron disc.
He's blocking the signal. Can't get line of sight.
Oh, all right. Oh, so serious question, though, about DEF CON and the speaker schedule, et cetera, because I don't know. I'm horribly out of the loop on this. But, I mean, is the NSA and or the FBI, have they been invited back? Are they going to make an appearance? What's the cultural deal with
I
that
think,
now?
And I think, and I'm not one to speak for anything on here, but I've not seen any activity in the forums or on the boards, you know, or in IRC or anything like that.
Because up to a few years
hostile.
Ago, they were invited, right?
I've never heard anything.
So here's the thing. I don't think, like, so just pretend like we're on DEF CON, you know, the different levels, the different colors, or, you know, the different readiness kind of things. So a couple, 2 years ago, so I guess the thing was Keith Alexander came. This was 3 years
gave
ago.
Gave the keynote.
Gave the keynote, and from what we understand, he and Dark Tangent.
It was a big kumbaya.
Yes. Had a meeting in the back, and more or less the agreement was, hey, we're going to ask you some questions. You don't have to answer anything. Just don't blatantly lie to us. Just, you know, I know you can't say, like, no comment on the things you can't, but just don't tell us any blatant lies. So more or less he got up there. When asked, was he spying on us? When asked all these questions, was he doing these things? He said, no, we're not doing those things.
Well, and there was also a big, it was just a, kind of a big PR thing too, where he was like, you know, in the past we've really kind of like been against each other, and it wasn't best for the thing for the country, and mm-hmm. and now we're trying to move past that, and we know we need to work together.
So submit your
resumes. Yeah,
yes.
So
there was,
you know,
a recruiting job.
So we're here to help the country, and you know, if you care about the country you live in, then you know you can be. Join us and help us and help defend America and blah blah blah. You know,
that's reasonable to most people. America. I mean, the crypto anarchists that are there are like, no, screw you, still.
Right. Well, but
the thing was, and the thing is, Dark Tangent, I think, and other people were generally like, okay, you know, they're not necessarily the most trustworthy people in the past, but you know, we've been adversarial, but maybe this is the start of a new chapter that could be good for both of us. And so that was kind of the attitude after that, during and after that. But then
Snowden hit, and everything that he released more or less showed that everything that Keith Alexander
just
said.
Just flat out. Well, not necessarily all just of it flat out lied.
And when they asked him about it, he said, oh, I thought you meant like right then when I was on stage answering.
Well, that's when
I had my toes crossed and you didn't see it.
And they've done a lot of backpedaling with a lot of things. And this is kind of a very short tangent, is they've actually redefined, you know, what certain things mean. So when they said, well, we weren't listening, it's like, well, we were collecting, but we don't call it listening until like an agent or an operative or you know, someone actually sits down, and specifically we put a human to listen to that, like filtering for keywords, doing this
just
storing.
Because
that's
it's on a hard
listening.
Drive doesn't mean that we looked at it.
Yeah,
it's not until we look at it that we've actually collected
into
it.
Into some very weird semantics, like it's like, you know, the dude that comes in with the $20 bill and makes the cashier make change and does all this skimmy scammy stuff, and then he walks out with $40. I feel like it's one of those things, and so do the rest of the community. So all this broke right before, I guess, two DEF CONs ago, and more or less Dark Tangent in like an open letter said, hey, you know, we've always, you know, had, if not an adversarial, kind of a fun relationship maybe with the feds, because there's been the game Spot the Fed, you know, where you can call and you can say, hey, I think they're a Fed. They spot you, you get a t-shirt that says I'm the Fed. You spotted the Fed, you get a t-shirt that says I spotted the Fed. They're very coveted. So, you know, cool stuff like that happens. But he said, hey, this year, you know what, there's a lot of animosity. Why don't you guys maybe think about staying at home this year? Don't come out. So
like,
more or less,
we're not inviting you. We don't really want you here.
Yes.
We're not going to accept anybody as invited. You're not invited.
Yeah, don't show. It's canceled for real.
What are they going to do? No, really. They're going to beat us up? Are the nerds going to beat us up? But,
well, it did
kind
out.
Of, maybe.
So that's the thing. So that was the attitude out there. It was very, you know, anti-Fed kind of thing. I think everyone was a little bit more super vigilant and maybe a little bit more paranoid than usual. But that stance was never attracted. He never waved the flag and said, hey, feds, come on back in. Water's fine. I think some are coming back in, but they're not flying the Fed flag anymore.
Yeah.
They're back under the radar.
Well, you're like, you know, like, oh, you know, what are the nerds going to do? Like, you know, Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah, the nerds possibly hack the government BlackBerry that you, like, you're required to wear because, you know, you're on call for the FBI terrorist task force or whatever. Well,
they need to find some more kind of cool playbooks. Like when the ANT catalog first got released, like the NSA catalog that came out, they were technically, when they first got dumped, they were still classified documents. One of the cool things they would do at the beginning of talks, they'd be like, hey, we're about to show, you know, the NSA ANT catalog. If you're not allowed to see classified documents, you should probably leave now.
Yeah.
And actually, you're not allowed to look at those. Some agents,
oh, no, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. So the people that go...
It's about as close as it gets to, like, the fake thing about, like, where if you ask a cop if they're a cop, they have to say yes. Like, if you say you're about to show legit classified information to a civil servant, especially, like, someone in the FBI, if they're currently engaged in an investigation or whatever, that's not going to upset them.
But if they're just hanging out on a weekend con,
it creates a problem.
Yeah.
Data spills involve paperwork.
Suddenly a couple people need to use the restroom or someone gets an important phone call or something happens. So it's like those guys might be feds. You know,
yeah.
It's just one of those things. It's a Jeff Nerdworthy kind of thing. Like, so you've got to leave the room when someone mentions top secret documents. You might be a fed.
You don't have to say that you're a fed, but...
But those are so out there now. I'm sure they've been somehow internally declassified, and all that stuff is from 2008 anyway. So we need to get new
docs. I don't know,
man.
They get like some of that stuff stays and gets the label and keeps on. Like
25 years.
Well, I mean, there are automatic time frames for declassification of information depending on the information. But like when we
all these were the F based stuff, the Five Eyes.
There was stuff.
No, yeah.
There's stuff that's pre World War One that's still classified, and it's not. You know, and it isn't even things like the
aliens.
That would really reveal something that our allies wouldn't like. I mean, there's pathetic stuff that is still classified.
We have to, Ars Technica, my day job, the tech news site where I work, we have to be very careful about showing, and we have a policy where we don't do it. We don't show classified images on as like listing images on the homepage. You know, every story will have like an image attached to it, and you put an image on the homepage next to the story. So people click on it because people like images. And like when I think we started doing it when the Snowden stuff broke, and we ran a couple of images from some of the leaked presentations, the leaked PowerPoints, and it has, you know, top secret, no foreign, all that stuff on the top of it. And we had a huge number of complaints, like triple-digit complaints of people saying, hey, I browsed your site at work and I had to fill out an incident report because, like, this top-secret image scrolled by on my screen, man. Can you guys please maybe not do that? So the compromise we reached was that we would not show, like, images on the homepage that had obvious classified labels or that were known to be classified leaks. But once you clicked on the story, all bets are off. So we would have them inside the story, like, for whatever. And if you're browsing in a government computer at work and you click on the Snowden link story and then you're upset that you see classified images that have leaked out, maybe you need to reassess your you should reassess your life and your offense threshold and not do that at work. Seriously, man. But yeah, no, that was it was really surprising. I wasn't expecting it. And it was like we got it was like one complaint and then like another one and then like this whole deluge as like the news story started to trickle out. People were like, man, could you not do that? I had to, like, call my boss and go see security, and I had to fill out a data spill report, and blah, 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 blah. You can, because it's like, you when you go through, anybody who's worked remotely with the government at all has probably had to go through data spill training, and you know the deal that, like, if a classified instrument leaks onto your computer becomes a classified instrument, and it has to be scrubbed in order to be returned to a declassified state. It's this really big problem. It's a huge big deal. So anyway, that was our sidestep. So yeah, that's a good way of flushing the FBI agents
before
out of the room.
NSA just completely blacklists ours.
Oh no, they probably don't like us anyway.
And Pete survived, I believe, the 3232. We talked right
earlier.
Yeah, we
don't know what happened, or what didn't happen. But
the common connection is that when it's happened, Jay Lee's been in the studio.
Oh, it's Jay. The call's
does
coming
Jay
from him.
Let me look under the table here. Like, is there a kill switch down here?
Do his eyes dart back and forth around 8:32 every show?
It's like pseudo kill dash 9 Pete
push
enter
the button.
And then when it doesn't happen, it's because he forgot about
right.
it.
Forgot to do it. He never set up a cron job.
If you just wanted, this is actually not a bad way to get kind of your head around what's going on in the hacker community and where the exploits are coming from. If you were just to surf out to defcon.org and then up in the top left, click on like DEFCON 24, and then at some point there's a little schedule and then go to speakers, you can see what the talks are about, so you can kind of get ahead of what's coming out. And this year there's a lot of Bluetooth stuff, like a lot of Bluetooth attack stuff, detecting Bluetooth devices, seeing what devices are out there, seeing what information they're leaking, taking over Bluetooth mice.
So turn your Bluetooth off.
Turn your Bluetooth off.
Just in time for Apple to release the new iPhone with Bluetooth only audio.
Oh yeah, Pete.
Well,
you get into
I just cover my Bluetooth in tape, and so
tooth tape.
I do the same thing with my Wi-Fi.
Mark Zuckerberg did it, so all the best hackers.
I only run some other color tooth.
Only one red tooth.
Yellow teeth.
All my stuff's yellow teeth. Ew, that sounds gross.
Tooth.
I don't want any of that. I'm really bad about that. I leave Bluetooth
it's
on.
It's not floss.
I run
stain tooth.
Well, because you generally want to leave Bluetooth on now, especially on Apple stuff, because continuity uses Bluetooth.
Yeah, you need it now.
Everything kind of works with it. Plus, you know, my car has the Bluetooth audio jumping thing, so like when I get in the car, I want the phone to automatically connect so I can listen to my, you know, audiobooks or whatever. And so I just leave it on. And I know that's a terrible security habit.
Man, Apple should extend the Bluetooth protocol on their own and call it iTooth.
iTooth.
Well, didn't they already do some kind of Bluetooth? I mean, not to turn your joke serious. Didn't they already do some kind of Bluetooth extension with iBeacons or whatever it is for auto ad tracking and stuff? I thought they had some kind of retail solution where you could buy these extra Bluetooth extension things and they would automatically pseudo-anonymously lock onto Apple users as they entered your store and let you push ads out to them.
I don't know.
I thought they did. Whatever. Turn your Bluetooth off. Turn your Bluetooth and your auto Wi-Fi join off,
just
too.
Turn your
phone
off.
Just throw your phone away. Live in a cave.
Really, it's the same set of issues as the Internet of Things. Basically,
Internet of Stuff.
They didn't secure it when they started. It's not encrypted. It's not it's not done in a way that could be secured. And so, too bad. It's just I'm still waiting for the quantum entanglement headsets that we can get that then can't be cracked.
It's totally hack proof because
You have to have the other electron.
That's right. If you observe the state of the proton, you've disturbed it. And yeah, I think that's going to be a while. I don't think they can do that yet.
Then your audio will only play out of the left ear.
So what we were speculating about at work, we were kind of jawing back and forth about the I guess we can get into the headphone stuff here in a minute, although we're closing in on the break. But we were wondering if Apple does end up. Well, you know what? I'll save it. I'll save it until post.
No, we should talk about it.
Apple. Yeah, we'll talk about the headphone jack.
Talk about the headphone thing. Yeah, that's exciting stuff and terrible and ties in with DEF CON. So when is DEF CON again? When is the show?
6th through the 9th.
Okay. About 5-6 weeks away.
August 6th through 9th. Yeah, pretty
August
sure.
August 6th through 9th. Well,
I think. I know it's early August. I can't remember 6 through 9 or 4 through 8.
It's the 4th through the 7th. Saturday. 4th through the 7th.
Okay, it's Thursday.
DEF CON 25 is July 27th through the 30th. That's what's going to mess me up. I'm going to show up in Vegas in August for DEF CON 25.
4th through the 7th.
It's going to be like at the end of Ferris Bueller. Like, it's over. Go home. The show is over.
Yeah, I think I told y'all, but they're changing the way the speaking stuff is done a little bit this year.
Not going to use the rounds.
They're not going to have as many talks. They're going to have the same number of rooms, but not many as talks. The talks are going to start later and end a little earlier.
So, yeah, it looks like. Yeah, you're correct. The talks go till 6 o'clock. They've got talks till.
Is there anything exciting? Anything you're really looking forward to learning?
Like, I have not, just because work has been such. I haven't gotten to go through everything, but I'm definitely. So the theme this year is Rise of the Machines. There's quite a bit of AI. There's a lot of like car hacking. There's a lot of, you know, like how to automate attack and defense scripts. A lot of like robot hacking. They're actually going to be, you know, the big Capture the Flag game every year. They're actually going to have some artificial intelligence, some machines playing Capture the Flag. We'll see how that goes.
What if they win?
They could win. What if it gets out? That's the thing. It's like a good news.
All the lights in Vegas.
Yeah, I didn't win. Bad news. It's because it escaped.
We captured the computer's like, we captured the wrong flag. We have this red, white, and blue one now.
Yes.
In attempting to capture flag, we killed all humans to reach objective more efficiently.
Yeah, so just everything's kind of going wireless is what it is, because before, you know, you'd have to like break into a building and get a wiretap and do all this stuff. Now wireless is just all out there. You just have to be in the proximity of something to be able to get your kind of, you know, hands on it, so to speak.
Build your own stingray.
Yes, yes.
Ah, there's that lovely music.
All right, well, that ends the first hour of our show. You definitely want to come back for the second hour, because we're going to talk about headphones and headphone jacks. Doesn't that sound exciting? Anyway.
Audio.
Yes.
No, it actually is. There's sort of interesting things that go with that you will definitely want to know about. So stay tuned through these next few messages, and we'll be back. I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Plicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Link.
And he's
Groovehouse.
KPFT needs the best board possible, and we need listeners with community connections, diverse talents, and collaborative spirits. We have some meet and greet opportunities for signers and candidates right here at KPFT's World Headquarters, 419 Lovett Boulevard in the Montrose, on the evenings of Monday, the 20th of June, and Friday, the 24th, from 6 to 8 p.m., our local election supervisor, Alma, will be present, and we'll have members of the community available to help sign your petition. As well, we have a meet and greet opportunity on the 26th, Sunday, from 2 to 5 p.m. for those of you interested in candidacy or helping with someone's candidacy for the board of directors. Please run for the board. The deadline is June 30th. This is KPFT Houston.
Hello, this is Alma Vizcarra, KPFT's local election supervisor. This summer, we will hold separate but simultaneous staff and listener elections for half the seats of the local station board. Please consider running for the board to ensure that the needs of the station and our community are met. Candidate nominations opened on June 1st and will close on June 30th. To run or vote in the upcoming election, you must be a member of KPFT by June 30th. For listeners, this means a donation of at least $25 between July 1st of last year and June 30th of this year, or 3 hours of volunteer station work or a hardship waiver. To see the election calendar or download a nomination packet, please visit elections.pacifica.org or call 832-930-3020. 832-930-3020. Your voice and your vote in Pacifica are important. Please keep in mind you must be a member of the station by June 30th in order to participate in the election. So don't delay. Renew or join today at kpft.org.
KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. We now return to Technology Bites.
Wasting no time.
And?
I figured we'd just go right to
it. That was a surprise bite.
Who took my apple?
Oh, yeah. So there's actually some interesting Apple stuff. Apparently, you may have been following the stories. I don't think we talked about it last week because I think it developed right in the middle between shows about Apple possibly not being able to sell the iPhone 6 and 6S in China because of a patent violation. Well, an interesting thing, in response to the patent lawsuit, the Wall Street Journal investigated the company. Company's called Shenzhen Bailey, I guess. That's closest my horrible Chinese pronunciation can get. The Wall Street Journal investigated the company along with its parent, DigiOn, and found that the latter company had collapsed, brought down by buggy product, mismanagement, and fierce competition, according to former employees and investors. DigiOne has apparently been absent from China's mobile phone market for nearly a year. When you try to call the company, they doesn't answer. Their websites have been deleted. Visits to its 3 registered addresses found no company offices. At the same time, Shenzhen Bailey is claiming to continue to battle Apple through its pending appeal process, and the company, quote, is still operational in its necessary functions, unquote. According to DigiOne lawyer Andy Yang, the company originally filed the patent infringement claim in December 2014, shortly after the launch of the iPhone 6, but the case only recently reached the court system in Beijing. Despite its assertion to continue going after Apple in court, the financial records of Bailey and its parent company reveal that both are insolvent with debts that greatly exceed their total assets. Former employees of the company even said the suit against Apple was, quote, always more of a marketing ploy than a serious court case.
It's just like Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life.
Despite the setback, Apple has confirmed that both the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus have stayed on sale in China, thanks to an administrative order appeal from a regional patent tribunal in Beijing last month. So the takeaways from this story is that, sadly, you know, the Chinese, clearly their patent system has its issues like the American one does, but they seem to have an actually more efficient system on some of it than, oh, say, the courts in East Texas, where everybody runs to get massive patent troll results. So we'll keep an eye on that one. It's odd. It's a very strange story. I think the if you look at the that they have if you go to the article on geekradio.com that we linked from Mac Rumors. The phone that they say looks exactly the same as the iPhone 6 doesn't. I can think of a number of phones that look more like an iPhone 6 than the one that they're showing to sue with. The closest thing I can see they have is like the buttons on one side have the kind of double rocker button and the single button that's separate, just like the Apple. And I don't really think that's a key part of the design of the iPhone 6. Anyways, another weird one, just an odd story that you, you know, with Apple being so successful right now and being a big deal, you would think that sites that have like news and stuff about Apple would be doing well. But MacNN, which is one of the oldest Mac news sites, they've been going since in the mid 90s when Apple was really in bad shape. They are shutting down at the end of June. So one less source for Apple rumors and stuff. They didn't really say, you know, they didn't go into detail about what drove the decision or whatever, but other than that they're closing down at the end of June. So pour out a pair of earbuds, of wired earbuds, for your homies at MacNN if that does anything for you. The iPhone, you know, obviously we're coming up on the next launch, so there's the rumors are all over the place. I don't bother to try and keep track when they jump around. I just try to give whatever the latest ones are, since that seems to be the way it gets reported. We've been saying, you know, the news stories have been pretty clear on this one since even last fall, that the iPhone 7 is not going to look radically different than the iPhone 6S or the iPhone 6. There's some particular features that might vary slightly, and we'll talk about one of those in a minute. But generally, the appearance is going to be the same. The 2017 iPhone will be dramatically different, according to, you know, the rumors and reports, featuring an OLED display like the Apple Watch, embedding the Touch ID Center in the display and dropping the home button. Apparently, for years, Apple Chief Design Officer Johnny Ive has expressed a desire for the iPhone to appear like a single sheet of glass, or I'm sure as he says it, to appear like a single sheet of gloss. See what I did there? The current design ideas for the 2017 iPhones are expected to push the handset in that direction by eliminating much of the bezel around the display and using the OLED screen. So other rumors for 2017 I'm not going to do right now because why skip over the current phone for that? You know, we'll have plenty of rumors after it. But the one we were talking about earlier, you heard hints about it, was will they have a headphone jack or not? And why? And is it worth it? The Wall Street Journal says, first off, you know, says the same thing as that prior report, that the iPhone design is not going to be radically different. But that the biggest thing is the removal of the standard 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. According to the story, to the usual shadowy people familiar with the matter, the new iPhone design will be about a millimeter thinner than the current iPhone 6 and 6S, and the removal of the headphone jack will improve the phone's waterproofing. Otherwise, they'll be similar in size, same size screens, and rumors about the big overhaul for next year. So this changes the pattern, as we've said. You know, usually the odd numbered, you know, the first and so on, you know, 4, 4S, 5, 5S, etc., that pattern is being broken. The 7 is not going to be that different. I guess it'll be the 6SS, sort of, is what it sounds like with the headphone jack change. And then to lead into the headphone jack discussion, interesting article from, well, there was an article by Nilay Patel, said taking the headphone jack off phones is user hostile and stupid. And then there's also sort of not a response, but an extension on the discussion from John Gruber during Fireball. And his headline is headphone jacks are the new floppy drives. And so that seems to be what it comes down to, is that he says that it's very similar to the discussions that were had when Apple took the floppy drive out of the iMac in 1998.
I disagree with Nilay about a lot of things, but I think on this particular issue, he's correct. This is more of a user hostility thing than it is. Yeah, I think Gruber's misrepresenting by calling headphone jacks, the removal of headphone jacks, equating it to the removal of the floppy drive in, I don't know, when did the first iMacs hit? 98, 99, around that time period?
98,
yeah. I don't think this is equivalent, because at the time, there were, you know, good, solid, you know, viable alternatives to floppies. They were kind of on their way out. There was other stuff that you could use. And it really was sort of on the way toward becoming an antiquated technology. Headphone jacks, on the other hand, you know, that little, what is it, three and a half millimeter, like, little headphone jack, the dual stereo jack that's in your phone, that's in every phone, that's in practically every device ever, and with either direct or with a simple adapter can use dang near any headphones that you've got or ever will buy. Pulling that out in favor of, you know, some sort of complicated, silly new interface like USB headphones or going to Bluetooth, which has its own power and audio quality issues, it's just dumb. It's a dumb move. It's not forward-thinking, and it's not challenging the establishment to, you know, push technology forward. It's just stupid.
Would it be possible for them to give you, like, a lightning to 3.5 millimeter connector?
I'm sure it would be if they wanted to. I mean, it depends.
Stacking connectors. That's fun.
The difficulty there is you would need, in that lightning to 3.5 millimeter, you'd have to have a DAC. You'd have to have a digital to analog converter in there, or an analog to, yeah, digital to analog converter in there, because extension to the lightning slash US, or there's an extension to USB type C and lightning that will allow audio, that will allow you to carry analog audio over one of the sideband cables or whatever, over one of the extra pairs. But I don't know how easy it would be to implement or not. That would let you use the phone's DAC. But honestly, it seems like the easiest way for them to do that, if they want to add an adapter, would be the adapter, or the headphones would have to have a DAC in them, an additional one, which, you know, the one in typically the DAC in your phone, the thing that converts the digital signal to analog for, you know, sending it to your ears, is of reasonable quality. The same might not be said of the little knockoff earbuds that you have to buy now with your new thing. Although, this is kind of where I was going before the break. The joke we were getting into at work is that some audiophile company is going to invent, like, a new set of, like, tube amp headphones with, like, vacuum tubes sticking out of the side, and, like, a big chest battery pack that you have to wear with, like, a hand crank analog to digital converter, and it's going to cost, like, $40,000 or something. And it'll be, like, the new audiophile accessory for your new phone.
Yeah. Oxygen-free lightning cables.
Yes, for playing your compressed audio files. But, you know, I think, like I said, I disagree with Nihilay about a lot of stuff. He's often wrong, in my opinion, but on this one, I think he's dead on.
I, you know, some of it, I don't know. I can kind of go either way. I mean, it sounds like the biggest argument is about DRM audio from a lot of people. The ability to fall back, you know, where basically if something happens to your headset, you know, your Bluetooth headphones or run out of battery or whatever, being able to plug something into the port and be able to get some sort of sound out of your device has always been helpful.
How did they get the Samsung Galaxy 7 to be waterproof? Like, doesn't it have a
waterproofing?
Sprayed shellac on it.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying. I mean, they said they were like, "Oh, one of the things is it helps make it more waterproof." But
waterproofing your 3.5 millimeter jack is a solved problem. It would add some expense onto the iPhone if they wanted to do it, because it's not. But it's not like it's impossible. Although, I mean, waterproofing
with the earphone, the plugs for those, I'm not from a waterproofing perspective, but just from, remember there was one of the phones where they sold, like, if you wanted a case, they had a special, you had to get a special extender to make the headphone jack.
That's the LifeProof cases.
Yeah.
The LifeProof cases, come with an adapter. So it screws in, but you can't fit a normal plug-in, so with the LifeProof case you get an adapter that you have to screw into the hole that then makes it waterproof, and you plug the 3.5 into that, but you can't
if the case is thick enough, it'll prevent any kind of regular headphone jack from working correctly, because one of my kids has an OtterBox case, the one who's had multiple phones broken, so of course the case is kind of important, and then their headphones
You could look on
headphones that they didn't plug in to.
You say you could look on Monoprice. They sell some cables specifically designed to fit into through cases that have fairly small holes, but they're actually still too big for the life-proof ones, but they do fit in a lot of other ones.
Nice. Yeah.
Or you
nice.
Could just switch to Android and keep using your existing headphones or whatever. Switch to a Nokia Windows phone. Switch to a Lumia.
Well, in this particular case, though, even though I have there used to be lots of pairs of unused Apple earbuds sitting around my house, my kids have done a very good job of making sure that there are none that are really working and long enough to keep. So there's not I don't have a drawer full of the Apple earbuds or whatever to fall back on anymore.
But, I feel like I go through feast or famine with my Apple earbud collection. Like when I don't need them, there's like three on every desk, and then there's like two that I'm tripping over in the hallway. And then when I'm about to go somewhere on travel, and I'm like, I should pack one of those earbuds so I can listen to an audiobook on the plane or whatever. I can't find one of those stupid things. They vanish. But they're everywhere when I don't need them.
Yeah, well, because I grabbed some. There was one of those deals where it's like two or three of them for $12, kind of liquidation thing, and got them. And of course, you know, figured I'd have a pair that I could just keep, you know, off somewhere. And basically, through the other members of the family, keep. Oh, I need earbuds.
And dogs ate them too. Dogs chewed on earbuds.
Yeah, I've never personally worn out a pair of earbuds or damaged them in a way that made them unusable in years of owning iPhones, and so I'm still trying to figure out how that.
It's because you don't. That's because you don't dance around when you listen to them.
I guess.
That's right. You got to let the music flow through you, so you can start destroying headphones.
Yeah, well, I went to the Bluetooth thing, although I have the one that's the deal that goes around your neck and then has the short wires to the buds that go in your ears, and I'm debating whether it's time to go to the little single ones that go in, you know, that are separate, that don't have a wire connecting them to put in.
It's time for direct neural implants.
There you go. See, then the lightning port, when you get that put in your head, Given Apple, you know, the way, what was it? So they put the Lightning port on, and then the very next device they put out was right. The MacBook, which didn't have that same port.
You need to go back in and have another cranial surgery to update yourself to USB Type-C now.
So you're going to get where and then when they finally get that all handled, then they'll come up with a new smaller one that also has power and sound and data. Right.
Well, then after that, they're going to update to encrypted Bluetooth 6.0 direct brain links. And then the next at DEF CON 34, it's going to be all about hacking people's Bluetooth implants.
And then the 30-pin connector.
right finally, in the dark and then it's the end of the world, my prediction of the end of the world will be, hey, we finally secured all the data on the Internet of Things, and then the sun will go out, and there'll be a black hole will collide with our galaxy, and everything will just end.
Well, at least then your peripheral connectivity issues will also go away with it.
No, but then you'll be in a whole other universe that then has its own devices and connectivity. I mean, it can't all be like Independence Day, where the alien spaceship is compatible with a Mac on a analog data connection.
Isn't the second Independence Day coming out?
They're not even waiting
Friday?
Until Thursday,
I think. Is it Thursday or
Friday?
Yeah,
why wouldn't they wait until the 4th? I mean,
because the 4th is on a Monday this year.
Well, why don't they
still a holiday?
Wait for the weekend before, unless they just, you know, unless they're. Well, I know. So I was supposed to do a review on it. And they are not doing any press screenings of the movie. So that's not
always. That's usually a sign of quality.
It's generally not a good sign when they don't do press screenings. Can mean maybe they're just really confident that, like, this movie is going to rule. We don't need to do any screenings.
Maybe that would be the reason to risk it. Because Batman versus Superman got slagged, and it still made a ton of money.
When is Suicide Squad coming out?
I don't know, but I'm so down for that.
Because I'm thinking, maybe they moved it because of that.
Let me see.
Because I'm pretty sure that movie is probably going to do well.
That movie is going to rule like Caligula.
August 5th.
Oh, really? That's way
hey,
soon.
Hey, just a second. That's during DEF CON.
Time, yeah.
Right. Ooh, you'll have to go see it in Vegas. I'm sure they got some theaters there that'll be filled with quality people also going to see the movie.
Hey, yeah, if you thought the Joker's portrayal on the screen is odd.
Bunch of scary DEF CON nerds cosplaying as Harley Quinn.
Wait till you see the Joker's in the audience.
One of those 30 people may have been Jared Leto.
I'm excited. I think the movie's going to be great, and I'm going to see it here, not at DEF CON, because that's scary.
So someone, just to go back, and I don't think we mentioned this, someone in the IRC actually mentioned that there are a lot of actual accessories that use the 1/8 inch or the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, like a lot of the square accessories, if you see that. You know, if you go to like farmers markets or pop-up shops or even Uber drivers, I think. No, not Uber drivers, but you know, some cab drivers are trying to use them.
But I thought Square just used it for power.
Is it power? Yeah,
and it Bluetoothed back
to
the phone.
Yeah, but it's still a...
Still using it,
uses it. Still drawing a little bit of power off there. Yeah. So...
Well,
to replace all those devices, I guess. So I guess your Square for iPhone is the new QCAT.
Whoa.
That is.
Deep reference there.
Wow.
Well, I mean, and it's important to note, obviously, this doesn't immediately invalidate your phone. And Apple actually does a very, very good job. And I think, you know, we slag them on the show, too. But I think they deserve credit for extremely long hardware support, especially on the mobile side. You can continue to use your iPhones. I mean, you know, unless the battery dies and you got to replace the phone because the battery is not necessarily replaceable, you can hang on to an iPhone for four, five, six years or so, and it will still stay supported with current Mac or with current iOS software versions as they come out.
Yeah, the iPhone 4S is now going to fall off the support with the new operating system.
That's 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years
2010.
Old. Although and they make them well enough. I mean, I have one of my kids is still using my iPhone 4S that I bought new when they, you know, when they were the new thing.
Maybe it wasn't 2010. Maybe I'm giving them. Okay, it's 2011 was when the 4S came out. But still, that's 5 years of active software support for a mobile device. That's more than you're going to get out of the complicated mess that would be your favorite Android phone mixed with the grubby fingers of your cell phone carrier that get all up into it and also control the software updating, et cetera, et cetera. You will not see that on the Android side. And that's unfortunate.
Well, you know, I guess that it shows sort of the complexity of the whole deal. I mean, and I guess the thing about it is in the phone market, if the Apple setup, if them losing earphone plug is that big a deal, then it'll show up when people don't buy the device. You know, because I will admit, I wondered at first when Apple ditched, not so much the floppy drive, but when they ditched the optical drive, when there was nothing external other than sort of network or through a cable, you know, USB or otherwise, to get data in. And I have not really found that I've missed it that much. I mean, I think at some point I went out and bought I've got a external, you know, disk drive, USB disk drive or whatever, DVD that I can hook up, and it's in a box somewhere, and I don't even know the last time I took it out. So they may just be a little bit early, but once they do it, it may become the norm. I don't know, but
we'll see.
They've taken that leap before, and that's one of the points Gruber makes. He says that Apple's proven to be very good at timing the removal of established legacy ports. I guess we'll see. You know, the big question to me is, you know, is what are they going to have instead that comes out with it? Because I don't think they can sell it without. They can't sell it where it comes where there's nothing to do the hands-free kind of thing with it. And it seems like that might be more, you know, that there'd be some cost involved for them on that. But
what's kind of like with them dropping the floppy, like Lee said, you know, they dropped the floppy, but there were burnable CDs and CD readers in them. There were, you know, flash drives with USB ports, which were available. So, you know, if they get rid of that, 3.5 millimeter audio port, there needs to be some other way for people to continue to be able to still use a lot of stuff that utilizes that.
Well, especially for with phones, I mean, with all the rules about not holding the phone up to your head and the you know, the safety issue of driving around that way, they need to be sure that right out of the box that you can use the phone without having to hold it up to your head to talk on it or whatever. And so, yeah, I'm sure they already thought about that early, and there's some factory in China full of orphans putting together, you know, lightning connector headphone deals.
Nice. All right, Pete. Well, what else do you have for us on this fine Wednesday?
That's all the Apple-y stuff. I guess we could move on to, he said, gracefully moving to where he could launch the next bumper.
In the geek world, we hear about new gadgets and gizmos every day. But can they stand a dip in the snart tank?
Well, that's weird. Last week I could hear the bumper all the way through. And then this week I heard the last, 3 seconds of it.
Yeah, I did that.
You're just in there twiddling the dials.
Took off the mix minus for a minute, or?
It's been off, and I turned it back on for a second or two, so that's why you could hear because you're hearing your line feedback to yourself. I mean, as long as we can do that and you're not hearing feedback and we're not getting any feedback on the line, I can leave it on.
Okay, because, yeah, last week I could hear all the bumpers.
Yeah, it's because Groove didn't know to turn that off.
But
it worked okay, I guess, because nobody complained about feedback and you didn't seem to experience it.
Your audio technology confuses and annoys me.
It's amazing. I don't know what the story is on it, but...
I will turn it back on. Okay, it's on now.
Beep, boop.
Okay, so okay, hello.
So when we do weird science, there won't be an awkward pause.
An awkward pause at the end. So let's see. Here's one. This one, okay, I'll apologize in advance because I don't think that I announced it when it came out for other stuff, and now it's out for Apple TV and iOS. But the NASA app, if you happen to be somebody who has an Apple TV, or if you have Fire OS or Android or iOS.
Does it have to be a fourth generation?
They have their app. Only if you can put on the apps. I'm guessing that's the current Apple TV.
That's the fourth generation
Apple TV. Yeah. Provides users with the ability to watch not only streaming video from NASA TV, but also access to a bunch of other content useful to those interested in astronomy and spaceflight. It offers a real-time view of the Earth from the International Space Station. That is pretty freaking cool. I will take a moment to say that is pretty freaking cool. On-demand NASA videos chronicling major events in the agency's history, and the Third Rock Internet radio station. That's a little different. Also viewable are over 15,000 images, which can be viewed as a continuous slideshow, 2D and 3D satellite tracking maps, the Earth as Art image gallery, and information about NASA missions.
I was going to say that would take a lot of effort on NASA's part to generate, a fake feed of a live, shot from the IIS that's supposedly going around Earth. It's not really true, but I guess with modern, CGI, they probably don't. They just can set it and forget it.
Yeah, well, after they with especially when they fake the moon landing, and then now when they have to do the thing so that they can fake when you bounce a laser off the mirror that's allegedly on the moon. anyways, so yeah, it's cool that kind of free stuff. I mean, that for NASA offering it and having it on a lot of different platforms is pretty cool. And the nice part is that one, you can try it because it's free. So, if you've been wondering about something to put up instead of the holiday log video to put up on your screen, on your TV, when you have family over for holidays or whatever, now you can do the slideshow of 15,000 NASA images. So it'll look like the long form intro to a Star Trek, to a Star Trek credits roll or something. Which, you know, unfortunately, I guess, there's not really a way to work it into the news, or didn't feel like it was a fit. But, you know, the guy who plays Chekhov died in a horrible freak car accident over the weekend. And that's right as they're gearing into the launch for the release of the next Star Trek
movie. Yeah, you need to be clear here. Walter Koenig is still alive.
Yes, it's the newest, younger reboot.
Yeah, I think that the ones who are playing it in ongoing stuff is what sort of counts now.
No.
Since I don't think we're seeing Walter Koenig, and unless he cameos in one of these, we're not seeing him in playing Chekhov again.
He was just at Comic-Con.
Playing.
Yeah.
Was he speaking with the Russian accent?
He never should have taken that red jersey. It's too soon, huh?
Anyways, well, in other stuff, so when you go to Comic-Con and you want to bring all your Star Trek episodes with you, this one's kind of interesting. The Plex Media software has run on a lot of different devices over the years. You know, obviously PCs, game consoles, NAS, you know, network storage, and cell phones. Now they've teamed up with Western Digital for the first portable, what they say is the first portable Plex Media server. The hardware is handled by a My Passport Wireless Pro, a battery-powered portable hard drive that can run standalone for 10 hours. It also can, you know, obviously if it has enough power to run that way for 10 hours, it can charge mobile devices and backup data via SD or USB 3.0. The all-in-one box can even create a Wi-Fi network to sync with mobile devices or stream media to any device running Plex, similar to Dish Network's Hopper Go, but without the need for a satellite subscription. So you can carry 2 terabytes with you, with battery power and the Wi-Fi and all that other stuff, for a little over $200, about $230, and upgrading to 3 terabytes just in case you have to have that to fill the 10 hours that the thing can run standalone. It's only another $20 to get the other terabyte. So, of course, if you prefer to leave your network attached storage at home, they also have Western Digital also rolled out some MyCloud Pro devices that trade portability for capacity and power. So instead of the 2 or 3 terabytes, you could have 32 terabytes of storage that will it's got an integrated video processor that lets it push 4K video, transcode up to 4 1080p streams at once for viewing on other devices, and run apps for Plex or Adobe Creative Cloud, all from your own home, and that one starts around $400. That's pretty hardcore stuff. I mean, you have to be a pretty big multimedia guy to really tax that kind of device.
I won't tell you what my NAS at home is.
So,
I won't tell you. I won't tell you what my NAS at home is.
Okay, well, it beats that, I'm assuming.
Well, I've been using. It's actually getting kind of old. I guess I've had it for about 3 years now. I'm using an 8-bay Synology unit, so I'm rocking quite a few numbers of terabytes, and it's got 4 gigabit Ethernet ports that I run bonded, so that I can push, you know, tremendous amounts of streams out to 2 or 3 computers at the same time. Although with bonded Ethernet, that's kind of stupid. I really just did that because it was awesome. It was an excuse to buy a managed switch and like set up bonding on the switch at home just to see how it would work. But yeah, it's a neat little device. It was expensive, but very, very much worth it for storing tons of stuff.
Yeah, so now you can take your huge video collection. Anybody can have their huge video collection. And now, though, they just, you know, bring a box home, plug it in, do a few settings, and they've got 32 terabytes and 4 streams. So it means, you know, instead of it just one device, you know, one hard drive full of your stuff, and if somebody's already watching something, you're kind of out of luck. It looks like this thing will let you, it looks like you really can support a house full of media, or at least a good chunk of it, with one box. The Wi-Fi thing is pretty cool. It seems pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. You could probably make some money on a flight. You know, when people figure out that the Wi-Fi on the flight sucks, you can like, well, hey, I'll stream you a movie if you got the Plex app.
Not once Apple pulls that 1/8-inch jack or the 3.5-millimeter
right.
jack,
and
you can't take you can't take Square payments anymore. I guess I can PayPal you.
Well, I thought they'd have to use Apple Pay or whatever to give you their money.
I guess you could. Or you could just use cold hard cash.
And here's another thing that they can take over when they hack your Bluetooth. Chuck Taylor, you know, the Chuck Taylor All-Star, you know, high tops and that, it's always been popular with rock stars. Now with embedded technology, they have the Converse All-Wah, which is guitar wah-wah pedal built into your shoe, into your Converse tennis shoe, allowing you to twist your guitar's sound with no need to precisely place your foot on a bulky external guitar pedal.
Nike is answering with the Nike Air guitar.
The sneaker works by connecting to the traditional wah-wah box via Bluetooth and can be used in a normal music setup connected to an amp. The shoes have a standard guitar jack on the side.
This is like the
digital
idea.
Device, the Mac or an iPhone.
This is like the idea that you get when you're under the influence of something and you're sitting around and you're like, man, you know what would be cool? Would be like if I could just have a wah-wah pedal just by moving my foot, man. And I could just plug my guitar into it, man.
It has wireless recharging. It was recently tested by Dinosaur Jr.'s Jay Maskus, who seemed pleased with the results. No plans have been announced to release the All-Wahs to the public, but if they drum up enough excitement, you might be wearing them to your garage band someday soon.
If they drum up enough. I see what you did there.
That's just what it says here, but I'm sure part of announcing it is to see what people say. Nike has been, you know, that was last week where they have the like redesign of the Chuck Taylor All Stars, you know, with like modern materials and all that kind of stuff. And you know, the sad part is they're shoes that are kind of like fancy sports cars. The people who will buy them and wear them are going to be old farts like me, not young people who are the reason that they were hip and around in the first place.
You know,
so.
I know it's kind of sacrilegious to say it, but I've worn Chuck Taylors before, of course, as has anybody of a certain age, and they're just not that comfortable, man. They're just
Thing they changed. The problem is they have zero arch support at all.
Yeah,
and they never lasted very long.
Yeah, they're terrible for running.
Mine
they're
lasted
terrible
a pretty
for
long
anything.
Time, but
maybe
and
just
they were
because
super
I walked
crazy
more.
Cheap.
They were really cheap. That was the one nice thing. But I used to wear them. And like when I was in college, a pair would not last me through a semester. Like I would have to get a new pair because the bottoms would wear out.
Yeah. Oh, mine. I had some that lasted through a good chunk of college. But
Vans lasted longer for me.
Well, yeah, because they were a more modern shoe.
And they were more expensive.
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
Because, yeah, I remember Vans when you had to go find a, like, surf shop at, for Houston. one of the only places you could get Vans in Houston at a certain point in the 80s was Shannon's in Willowbrook Mall.
I don't remember where I would buy Vans back then. Maybe at, like, Spencer's? No. Not Spencer's.
Spencer's.
What's that? What was that? Oh, the Wild Pair. Maybe that's where I bought them, at the mall. I don't remember where I bought them. I just remember I used to buy Vans. Somewhere.
I had dorky shoes.
When I got them, that it was earlier in the 80s. It was the very beginning of the 80s, and you had to you'd go in there and they'd be out. They had so many pairs, and you could go into the store and it's like, yeah, no, we don't have any.
Well,
sorry.
The Chuck Taylors went through their big resurgence when I was in high school in the mid to late 90s. It was like for a while, it was like the popular shoe to wear, but. Like I remember when I bought them, because I have relatively big feet. I wear size 13 shoes, and they look like, because they're all kind of flat, and they look like aircraft carrier clown shoes almost, because there's not a lot to them, right? They're just kind of flat kind of shoes, and they don't really look good when your feet are stupid big.
When you have Sideshow Bob.
Yes, sort of Sideshow Bob feet, but without his soothing voice.
The first thing Nike's done is they put like a sole on them that had some support for your feet. So some people will like that. And then they have these new ones are designed to be light, because that's the other thing is Chuck Taylors were not light shoes.
Just these
to wear
terrible shoes that we wore. Why did we wear them?
Because they were cheap and they were cool.
That was the style of the time, Pete. Cool. You had to wear them with a matching onion on your belt.
I bought them because I worked in an amusement park and you had to have black shoes, and that was the like cheapest black shoes you could get your hands on. Was a $20 pair of Chucks.
You worked at an amusement park? There's probably a whole set of stories coming out of this.
A defunct water park, it became a water park. It's a up in Spring. It was Hanna-Barbera Land once there was a water leak.
Hanna-Barbera Land, dude, I remember that. That was fun. That was cool. That was like, your parents can't take you to Astro World, son, but how about Hanna-Barbera World instead?
How about if we take you where Scooby-Doo and the Smurfs can paw you in the heat? I worked in the group sales office at the ticket thing at the front.
Wow, yeah, that's taking back some. I would have sworn that closed even too long ago for you to have worked there. I mean, not that you're that old, but I mean, seriously, wasn't that like shut down by 1985 or whatever?
Maybe something like that, 85 or 86, and then it sat empty, and then it became Splash Town or whatever, Splash World or whatever.
Splash Town's awesome. Love Splash Town.
It became some kind of water park. I don't know if it's even. I guess it's still there and still the water park. But okay. Well, other try by or fry stuff. I'll say
try by and fry is for Barrett.
Or last week's table that had integrated cooking. this one is an interesting idea, although I have a question about it that I'll get to at the end. And the product is called the Pearl Rear Vision Backup Camera. And, you know, if you got a brand new car, you know, with lots of features, they've got the like built-in screen and it's got a reverse cam and all this kind of stuff. And if you've got an older car or a cheap car, it doesn't have that. And if you wanted to add it, there'd be wires and all kinds of stuff you'd have to do to turn your car into a real mess inside. It's basically a license plate frame that you put on the back, and then you don't have to run any wires. It has an adapter that plugs into your ODB port and a companion app that displays the images on your phone. It's got dual wide-angle cameras that give you an outstanding field of view. Advanced in-app image processing lets you know if there are obstacles in your path. And since the frame is charged by the sun, it's solar, you don't have to replace batteries on it. It's apparently for pre-order. It's available for around $500. The question to me is, having it connected to your phone seems like that you've like reduced the safety of what you're doing that you gained from having a backup camera by having it work with your phone that you would be sitting there staring at in your hand to see what's behind you.
And then while you're backing up, you get a text notification. You're like, oh, wait, let me answer this real quick.
Or you get a call, so the whole screen goes away.
Whoa.
It pops up. Yeah, pops up the message, you know. Hey, look out. What? Bang.
So does it work via wireless? Like the OBD thing that plugs into OBD does wireless to the plate frame, I guess?
It's magic.
Yeah.
Uses Bluetooth.
And I guess that's how it knows you're reversing.
And so where does it draw power from? Do you have to plug it into like the
light?
Oh, it's solar.
Yeah, you said that already, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, and it's $500, so it's not cheap. But if you know somebody that really needs it, I will say I'm sort of surprised that the rearview mirror hasn't been replaced by a screen, you know, an LCD type screen.
Drive by wire.
Except do it with a backup camera, but also cameras in place of your side mirrors.
Well, they have.
Look at that you see kind of the full, so you don't have blind spots anymore because your side mirror, you know, the cameras at where your side mirrors would be, would show that whole side of the car.
On some really expensive cars at CES last year, Maserati had a demo car they were showing off in conjunction with Qualcomm, and it had that kind of. It had all of the mirrors had been replaced with LCD screens that showed views from cameras scattered around the car, and they were like these LED. They were colored LEDs, on top of the dashboard, sort of in the nook between the window and the dashboard. They weren't like shining on your face or anything, but they would change color in various sections in front of you to represent whether obstacles were detected, so that even if you weren't looking in the mirror, you could kind of see that, like, coming up on the edge of the car, there was like an obstacle because the lights would turn slightly red or whatever. So, I mean, if you want to go spend, you know, $300,000 on a Qualcomm connected prototype Maserati or whatever, you could have that today.
Why don't they just put screens on the all the pillars in the car and then project what's in the space of the pillars so it looks like, you know, you don't have any pillars. You can just see, like,
I don't know. The realistic answer to that probably is that the pillars have, like, crash protection that they have to meet or whatever.
Well, as you move forward and backwards, too, it would need to, I guess, do some kind of head position tracking because the position would change. You know, the angle would change.
And
it would be pretty
freaky. Then why don't they put LCDs on the outside of the car so that you can, so that the people outside can see you sitting in the car?
or you can make your car invisible.
It's for all those people who have to have the, who have video displays in the rear headrests of the back row of seats in their car, where you kind of go, okay, who's that for? Me riding behind you?
It's okay when they're in the second row for the kids. It's the third row where it's right. Like, wait a minute.
Go, what? You're just showing off then. That's just, oh, I can waste money with the best of them.
Yeah, thanks for letting me watch your movie at the stoplight. I guess that's pretty, that's very considerate of you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, except that it's always, you know, they're always watching, like, you know, Nick Jr.
Yes,
videos
it is.
Whatever.
It's like, there's Dora the Explorer showing.
Yeah, wow, that's what I want to see at a stoplight. Or you get real engrossed in the story.
Yeah.
Will she find it? You know, will Boots get across the river?
Is Swiper going to show up? I mean, you never know.
Will Swiper be swiping? Well,
anyway. Signs are. Odds point to yes on that one.
Oh, man. there's a certain category of audience out there who have no idea what we're talking about, and then there's a swath that knows exactly what we're talking about. And then finally, on Try Buy or Fry, this one I saw, there was another device I saw, but there wasn't an article on it that I ran across in building up for the show, so I didn't get it. But there is a device that lets you plug your phone in, and it turns your phone screen. It allows your phone to act as a Game Boy, whether Game Boy regular or color.
I was going to ask.
And you can plug in the cartridges. It's got it. It's got like, it's like if you took a Game Boy and cut the top off of it, mm-hmm. and then had a slot in it to shove the phone that would replace the screen, and then it's got the slot for the cartridge on the back. I didn't find that one, and so I don't know how much that one is. But then there's another one that apparently is better. That's a higher quality thing for an iPhone game controller called from a company called Game Vice, or the product's called Game Vice. And what it does, you know, there's been different ways to hook stuff up. Some of them use Bluetooth. Some of them look like Xbox controllers with a cradle for your phone. But apparently the best layout, according to this article, was one that where you turn the phone on its side and put the controller stuff on the ends, like so that it kind of works like a PlayStation Vita. But most of them felt cheaper, imprecise. The Game Vice controller gives the idea a sheen of quality. The Game Vice controller comes in iPhone, iPad Mini, and iPad Air sizes, and it's plastic. It's got four action buttons, a D-pad, dual analog joysticks, and four front triggers, just like your favorite console controller. Connects to your iPhone with a lightning connector and recharges its battery via micro USB. And it weighs about a third of a pound. It's about $100, which is not cheap, especially since you could always, you know, just use the screen controls. And you also run the risk that the iPhone 7 won't fit. But apparently it's compatible with about 800 games. Which, that's a lot of games, but that also means there's a lot of games that might not be compatible. And they do have an app, so you might, if you're interested in this at all, you may want to download the app and see if the games you want to play are supported. Let's see. If they are there and you're the type who wishes your phone was more like a Vita, Game Vice deserves a look. For what it's worth, it's the only gaming controller in the Apple Store, which is a pretty good vote of support. They said at the very least it beats swiping your way through another lonely, thumb-curling NBA Jam session.
I was going to ask when you said you can plug this device in and it turns your phone into a Game Boy, if you meant like specifically like a Game Boy, or if you were like, it turns your phone into a Game Boy like the kids are using today.
Yeah, no, it turns your phone. It you put Nintendo games in the slot and play, you know, Pokemon on your phone.
Nice.
I wonder how. I'm guessing it has an app that then lets it, you know, send control feedback through the Lightning port, or maybe it uses Bluetooth. But it's the kind of that white plastic like the old original Game Boy, and has the original Game Boy type controls on it.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's interesting the kind of Swiss Army knife that tablet devices have become, where you just, you know, plug them into things and now it's VR, and you plug it into this and it's a game console. And so thought that was kind of interesting.
Magic.
And again, this Game Vice one was the only one that had an article about it lately. I didn't stumble across any place where, I don't even remember where I saw the, I think it might've been on a YouTube ad, for the Game Boy one. I wonder what Nintendo thinks about it, but you do have to actually have the games. It's not doing like ROMs or whatever, where you're getting them for free and Nintendo gets nothing for it other than knowing that you used their brand name to sell your stuff. So.
Sweet.
Yeah. So,
got 10 minutes left. You want to make some science?
I think we probably have about enough time to do something like that and test out our new mix minus.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious
science. All right. Well,
that was much less of a pause.
Pure energy.
Lab-grown bones successfully implanted in pigs. Says the headline. The 14 pigs are doing fine considering they've been retrofitted with bones grown in a laboratory. Apparently that came as a pleasant surprise. When they did the experiments, Gordana Vunjak Novakovic, wow, I'm sure I'm butchering their name, professor of biomedical engineering at Columbia University, said the pigs woke up and a half hour later they were eating. We thought they would be in pain, but no, they're doing great. The Dr. Vunjak Novakovic and her colleagues have managed to create living bone from stem cells. They made a CT scan to create a 3D image of each pig's jaw. Then from a cow bone, they sculpted a scaffold, a three-dimensional copy of the pig bone, built the bones, and then implanted the new bone in each pig. There was no problem with rejection, and the new bone integrated with the pig's own tissue. Clinical trials in humans are at least 3 years away. Although, you know, it sounds the thing that, you know, obviously growing bones that they can replace bones like that is interesting, but the fact that apparently after implanting them, that it was not a like major reaction after it is pretty amazing. I guess because there's no rejection, it's kind of like just, you know, it treats it as it's
real
part of
bone.
Yeah. So the biggest question I had when I read the article was, who thinks of this stuff? I guess if your name is Dr. Vunjak Novakovic. Maybe that's, I don't know, but clearly science, a lot of this stuff is kind of moving on in the background, and we only hear about it when they do something that's newsworthy like this, but this one seems a lot better than some of these where they release some sort of, you know, study conclusion that then is overturned in another week. And finally, you know, we've heard all about the companies that are doing various, you know, private initiatives in space stuff. You know, we've heard about Elon Musk's thing and Bezos's and all that. We haven't heard a lot from Boeing, but till now. Eric Berger reported on this. I found it at Ars Technica that says Boeing says that there's a quote legitimate chance unquote that their Starliner astronaut transport vehicle will launch in February 2018. They're beginning to train. Apparently, they're about to start training astronauts and flight controllers for it. So the last human to command a space shuttle stood outside Boeing's main office building in Southeast Houston Wednesday morning, speaking effusively about the company's Starliner spacecraft when it began to rain.
I was actually with Eric. I was doing the photos for that story. And while we were doing the interviews, Eric was doing the interview. I was just kind of hanging out with the pictures. There was the fire alarm tripped in the building. It was not a drill. Somebody leaned up against a wall switch or something. And this was with, all the ISS program leads were there. I'm blanking on her name. Ellen Ochoa is there, Director JSC. There were all these VIPs there, and all of us had to go grab our stuff, and walk outside. And this was the middle of the day on Tuesday. It was 100,000 degrees and it started raining and the sun was out while it was raining. So it just was there's all these important people standing outside and the ground is just literally steaming because it is so just sickeningly hot and humid. And we had to stand out there for 20 minutes while the fire drill petered out. But anyway, yeah, it was an interesting day. They say that they're going to do this launch on it'd be on an Atlas V rocket. It's the CST, formerly known as the CST-100 spacecraft. And if they get it right, if everything goes well and according to plan, the first crewed flight would happen in February of 2018, and send a couple of people up to the ISS. Assuming that Boeing wins, I believe there's going to be a bake-off before that between Boeing and SpaceX. On whether or not which company is going to actually land the ongoing commercial crew contract. Although, I may be incorrect, they may be doing, and I have to look this up, but they may be doing the first flight prior to the contract award. Although I don't want to be lying, so that's tentative. I should know this, but I don't. I'm trying to read here real quick to see.
Yeah, apparently NASA's trying, their preferred timeline is the end of 2017. And it says in the article, so far only Boeing has publicly addressed these challenges, and their date has slipped to February 2018. I haven't seen where it says about the contract, but the agency has said Boeing and SpaceX would probably have launched by the end of 2015 had Congress provided full funding. According to John Elbon, Vice President and General Manager of Boeing's Space Exploration Programs.
I said he ain't wrong. But we have to disable it because I hear that magical music. The magical music that signals that our time is nearly up.
It's at an end.
So sad. So sad.
We got through all the segments on So, and maybe next week I will be there in person. We'll see. I'll let you guys
come visit us, Pete. See.
Take us out, Pete.
All right. Well, you have been listening to another spine-tingling episode, iceberg-free episode of Technology Bites. I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
Well, I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse.
And we will be back next week without Jay. So if he scares you, you can tune in safely. And all that fun stuff.
Adios.
This month, KPFT is seeking listeners like you to run for our local board of directors. Hi, this is Dwayne Bradley, KPFT General Manager. I'd like to personally take a moment to tell you how important it is to me and to KPFT that you consider becoming a candidate for our station board. Our board helps shape the direction and vision of this nonprofit radio station and serves our community. You must be a member of KPFT to run, but never fear, you can visit kpft.org to give a donation and become a member right now. We need listeners with community connections, diverse talents, and collaborative spirits. Just visit elections.pacifica.org for a candidate packet and complete elections information. The deadline to become a candidate is June 30th. Thanks from me and KPFT, Houston.
On Saturday, July 30th, the Last Concert Cafe will hold the 29th annual Watermelon Dance and Summer Social, a KPFT benefit. To assist with expenses and to help promote this event, we're looking for those willing to sponsor. Sponsored packages will include admission for two, dinner for two, t-shirts, and a signed poster of the event. Please contact Robin Lewis at 713-526-4000 or email me at deadbeat@kpft.org if you can be one of those